I'm Francine, bringing you more reviews, recaps, and rants on all your favorite K-dramas. This is Drama Buds, an anime podcast. So hello everyone, welcome to today's episode of Drama Buds. If you didn't know, I started a watch challenge last month where I asked for a bunch of recommendations from people and I was going to watch the first 4 episodes or so just to see what I think about it and to decide if I'll finish, I'll continue, or I'll drop it. But I just needed to break the 4-month streak of not watching a completed drama. Like, that's crazy. That's 1/3 of the year where I did not watch anything that wasn't releasing weekly. And good news, guys, I've finally finished a completed drama. I will talk about that today because I can't really make a full episode about it. But actually, I only have 4 dramas to talk about today. I think I'll do this a few more times. Yeah, every month or every other month so that I have more to talk about. But yeah, let's start with my first impressions on the 4K dramas that I started in my watch list. So I'm going to work backwards, okay? Just so you know, this is the one I most recently started. And then we're going to go back to the first one I started because that's a much longer part. But first, I want to talk a little bit about The Guest. I can't get into it because I'm actually going to make a super special Halloween episode or horror episode for this. So you're going to get a full review of The Guest. So yes, I'm holding back a lot here. Maybe I'll talk about my thoughts as of the first 4 episodes. Because right now, guys, I'm in episode 15. Yesterday, I started episode 5. Today, after this, I'm going to be watching episodes 15 and 16. So just so you know, it's not that I'm super hooked, you know, that it's a 10 out of 10. But I mean, it's a very good binge. I'll say that. Anyway, so The Guest was not recommended by anyone to me. I've always just wanted to watch this. This has the same director as Money Heist Korea and Luca the Beginning, which, by the way, was recommended to me by Dingu Dramas at Twitter. So someday I will get to that. Someday we'll get to Luca the Beginning. But yeah, for now, The Guest. It was written by the same 2 writers of Bulgasal, Immortal Souls, which I've heard very mixed reviews about. But The Guest, I heard consistently, everyone watched it, really liked it. So it's a horror K-drama about a shaman or someone who's been possessed, a priest, and a cop. And they have this very entangled childhood. And as of the first 4 episodes, I think that was the most interesting part. Seeing them as children going through this very dramatic incident when they didn't know each other. And then as adults, how are they all going to meet each other and uncover how entangled, you know, their big traumatic incidents were. So as of episode 4, they were just starting to come together and starting to work together. There was a lot of animosity there that, like, I know people have said this is a really good squad show where you really start to care about their relationships with each other. So, I was very excited to see where that would go. And as of episode 15, I will say, yes, I do, in fact, love their dynamic as a trio. And yeah, as of the first 4 episodes, I wasn't super hooked. But the plot was also moving fast enough for me to still be interested, even if I wasn't seeing the dynamic yet that was supposed to build throughout the episodes. Horror factor wasn't super scary. Now, if I wasn't watching it for a separate review episode, would I continue it as of episode 4? Probably, because I knew that there was a dynamic that I was going to see eventually. And yeah, the plot was moving fast enough for the first 4 episodes at least. The performances were great. The show itself looked so good. Yeah, I would have continued this even if I didn't have to. So moving on from The Guest, because once again, I cannot say much about that. Stay tuned for the full episode on that coming sometime soon. Let's move on to Mad Dog, which was recommended very kindly by Dingu Dramas at Twitter. Thank you so much. Mad Dog is a 2017 KBS drama. I don't know the PD. The writer, interestingly, is the writer of Beyond Evil. So, I was very intrigued about that. And it stars Yoo Ji-tae, who I've watched in Money Heist Korea, and Healer, you know, what I've watched of both of these dramas. And it also stars Woo Do-won, who I've watched in My Country, The New Age. So according to Asian Wiki, Mad Dog is about Choi Kang-woo, who is a former detective, but he now works as a veteran insurance investigator. But he quit that because of an airplane crash that killed his wife and son. He leads a team that attempts to reveal insurance fraud cases. And he eventually meets Kim Min Joon, played by Woo Do Won, who is a genius former swindler whose brother was also a victim of the plane crash, thus beginning their rivalry and cooperation. Thank you, Asian Wiki and My Drama List. I think that's a pretty accurate summary as of the first four episodes. That's really just what happened. It starts out immediately with the vibe of the show, which is very, very heisty and quippy. And cool, supposedly. Like, you're supposed to find what they're doing cool. It requires a lot of suspension of disbelief. Of like, how are you getting away with this? Or how is this even happening? Or how is everyone so stupid that you're able to do this? So immediately, it takes on that kind of lighter tone or like cooler tone. And then in episode 2, they reveal the plane crash. The entire flashback of the plane crash that killed Choi Kang-woo's family. And honestly, at this point, like I could not take it seriously. The director, honestly, I'm glad this director has not worked on anything after this because it was too melodramatic. Like, even for the nature of what they're depicting, it was way too melodramatic. And Yoo Ji-tae was just wailing, you know? I could not even judge his performance because I think the director was just, you know, give me more. And he was giving everything. And I couldn't take it seriously. The editing of it was so... And then after the big flashback of episode 2, you know, we get more into Woo Do-won's character. And the vibe is that the squad is antagonistic with him because he's trying to take over their squad very sneakily and they don't know his intentions. He's also related to the pilot that crashed the plane that Kang-woo's wife and son were on. So, you know, a lot of things against him. But as of episode 4, they did like another heist together where he was part of the squad acting with them. So I think that is the dynamic that it would have gone if I had continued. I also heard there's a bit of a found family-ish theme here where I'm pretty sure, you know, they discover that he's not the bad person that they initially thought he was and he's better integrated into the squad. I'm sure that's where that would have gone. But yeah, as of episode 4, I will have to drop it because I really cannot take this director seriously. Like, it's really the director's fault. I mean, 2017 is a while, but I didn't think that that was still, you know, a prominent directing style as of that time. It's really giving Healer, or even worse, no, it's giving Doctor Stranger. So if you know, you know. It really looks like it was made at that time for that time. And yeah, I couldn't take it seriously for that. But I will be seeing Woo Do-won again in Save Me, which was very kindly recommended by Charlotte at the Discord server. And I'm kind of interested in watching When My Love Blooms, which stars Lee Bo-young and Yoo Ji-tae. So we'll see if I get to those. But Save Me for sure is up next. So next up, I watched City Hall, a 2009 drama recommended by Onion Mok on Twitter. Thank you so much. I have a lot of old dramas to try out because of your recommendations. So we'll start with one of them. City Hall was written by Kim Moon-suk, who also wrote The Glory, Mr. Sunshine, Descendants of the Sun, Goblin, and her PD here was her frequent collaborator in the 2000s and early 2010s. So this person also directed Lovers in Prague, Lovers in Paris, Secret Garden, Gentleman's Dignity, before they had a falling out and she started working with Lee Eung-bok for the foreseeable future. God, look man. I dislike Kim Moon-suk and Lee Eung-bok. I have beef with both of them. And you're gonna hear about it. Anyway, City Hall stars Kim Sona, who was in The Woman in Dignity. Haven't watched that. And she is the iconic Kim Sam-soon. She's My Name is Kim Sam-soon. Yes. It's iconic because if I've heard about it as a child and it was, you know, tag dubbed, that's iconic. So yeah, she's Kim Sam-soon. And it also stars Cha Sung-won, who I've seen in Our Blues and One Ordinary Day. It's about this very ambitious guy who wants to go up in politics, but some incident happened and he got sent back to some city in the countryside, which he apparently grew up in, but you know, he's hiding that part of his past. And there he meets the female lead who is like a secretary of the mayor who's very quirky and has no ambition and is just goofy and inappropriate. And she's a mess. She's basically Kim Sam-soon again. So yeah, I've heard that the role was kind of written for her. Probably because yeah, Kim Eun-suk only hires people who are famous and she just wants to, you know, poach them and use them for their names. So. Oh, I'm a Kim Eun-suk hater. I'm so sorry. Anyway, so female lead, the most interesting thing she's done as of episode 4 was join a local beauty pageant. She fought to be on that pageant because she needs the money because she has a big debt and she's in her 30s and she's not traditionally pretty or poised. So she's like, no, we should break beauty standards. Let's also include older women. And eventually she wins the whole thing. And apparently, according to the summary, she's gonna be the mayor of the city? Okay, so as of episode 4 out of 20, we're not at that part of the story yet, but okay, that encourages me to continue it. I would like to see how the hell that happened. So yeah, as of episode 4, not much has happened. We know that the male lead, yeah, grew up in this city, and I'm sure he wants to be like the president of the country because he wants to show his father up or something. So yeah, we got a bit into his past. And as for the female lead, yeah, we've just gotten to know how quirky she is. And she's kind of, oh, she's like Hong Banjang in Hometown Cha-Cha-Cha. Like, she just does everything. She paints houses, she repairs things because, yeah, she needs to earn money because she has a debt for some reason that I already forgot. It's a rom-com and it's also 20 episodes. So yeah, I didn't expect to get too far into what was gonna happen as of episode 4. But I'm definitely interested in continuing it. One, because I want to spite Kim Eun-suk. I read somewhere, correct me if I'm wrong, but like this didn't do as well as her previous works. And so that's why she decided after that she's just gonna lean into whatever the public wants and give them like big Cinderella stories. And then she wrote Secret Garden, which did so well. And then ever since then, she just writes hit after hit because she gives the people what they want. I mean, as long as that's what the people want, they want famous stars who look good, they want Cinderella stories, they want big flashy heroes. Sure, that's what she'll do. Yeah, she has a finger in the pulse of whatever people want, so good for her. Anyway, I heard somewhere that she considered City Hall to be a flop, so I'm interested in this just to spite her. Maybe this is the only work of hers that I will genuinely like, because everything else I've just been forced to watch it out of needing to keep up with what people have watched. So, yeah. And I also want to watch it now that I know that that's what's going to happen. Like, how the hell does she become the mayor after winning a beauty pageant? I've also heard that this is just a very good rom-com period. Yeah, I'll stick to it for that. But if ever I don't continue this, I do really want to watch My Name is Kim Sam-soon, which has always been on my watch list, but was also recommended by Irma Arichivita. I'm so sorry if I did not pronounce that on Spotify. So thank you. It's definitely going to happen. I'm definitely going to watch that someday. So yeah, I have a lot of reasons to continue this. Maybe when I have space for a lighter drama, I'll get back to this. And the first drama I've been able to finish in the last 4 months. Congratulations to Salon de Nabi. And this has always been on my list. I actually tried watching it last year, but I just was not in the mood for it. And I'm glad I gave it another chance now. So the PD, I don't know them, but the writer is the same writer as Diary of a Prosecutor and Age of Youth or Hello My 20s. So yeah, very much a slice of life writer. It's about the people working in hair salon and their daily struggles. You know, textbook slice of life. And what's interesting about it is that the episodes are sitcom-style episodic stories, right? There's a narrator who kind of weaves the episode together through some, you know, haircutting, hair salon metaphor. And the metaphor or whatever incident with a customer at the start of the episode leads to the story of another customer and another member of the crew. And then it goes back to resolve that first incident and to tie the metaphor together. And we have a lot of recurring characters, like recurring customers that get new things done to their hair or the same things over and over again. Interestingly, episode 4, which was my decision-making episode, was a filler episode. But it went back to the start of the salon. It went back to them, you know, coming together and forming this thing and hiring each person. And that's what convinced me to continue the most. Because I was wondering if we were ever going to go to that part of the story or if we were just going to continue as if they've always been like this, they've always known each other, we don't know how they all came together, but this is their dynamic. And episode 4 was nice because it showed you that, oh, this is where they started. And actually, even in episodes 1, 2, 3, they've already grown so much, but this is who they were before. And they introduced relationship dynamics that haven't been highlighted yet, but are like the undercurrent of their relationships as of the present time. This show is very creatively shot. Like, I don't know how to explain it, but it's so creative. And when the narrator has like an interesting metaphor or explaining something about haircutting, they do intricate animations. It's very cute. Yeah, and very creative. And those are my thoughts as of episode 4. And then I ended up finishing it. I just kept going. And that's why I wasn't able to watch a lot more shows on my watch list because, yeah, I ended up continuing two of the shows on here. So I think Salon de Nabi is good for a very light slice of life. I've always been a fan of sitcoms and episodic shows and, you know, a workplace slice of life is the perfect drama for that format. I ended up liking the main love line, quote-unquote, with our female protagonist played by Kim Hyang-gi. Sorry I did not introduce the actors here because it's an ensemble cast, so there are a lot of them. I really liked her love line with the other intern at work because she's super socially awkward and people don't know how to talk to her and they can't even hear her voice. And then we have the other intern at work played by Park Chung-woo, who's, you know, very socially adept and flirty. And initially, she hates him because she thinks that he has it so easy and he doesn't take anything seriously while she's struggling so much at work. But then eventually, you know, they get closer. She admits her feelings out of nowhere. And he also realizes that he likes her. And then he, you know, takes baby steps with her, being that this is her first ever relationship and he's super experienced. And it's very sweet. But the love line that I actually cared about, oh, if you know, you know. Of course, I cared about the love line between the two hairstylists or designers who were always hostile to each other, but always had chemistry, you know? They were always hanging out or they could only depend on each other when they were like injured. But they always seemed like they disliked each other, that they had nothing in common. But of course, it only takes one incident for them to, you know, finally go for it. And it's great. It's just opposites attract, you know, two incompatible people who try to make this kind of casual relationship work while still being true to themselves. Obviously, that's for me. Something I liked about the show is that it touches on a lot of sensitive issues. Bullying, depression, sexual assault, fat phobia, there's a transgender character. And, you know, the themes in general touches on grief or on giving up in your dreams or being afraid to step out of your comfort zone. All of that, of course, addressed with hair metaphors, yes. And in general, it tackles everything, especially the sensitive topics. It tackles them realistically, wherein people, you know, are not perfect, understanding, so kind, immediately warm and understanding. They're not like that. There's shock. There's disbelief. There's people being insensitive, not knowing how to react. But it's also compassionate. It tackles everything compassionately. Because ultimately, the characters mean well, they try their best to be kind, and the narrative doesn't make people suffer without, you know, giving them some reprieve or some catharsis or vindication or, you know, acceptance at the end of it. I would say I really disliked the final episode. I cannot even call it the finale or the ending. It's just the last episode. Because, okay, here's how they set it up. Episode 15, as I was watching it, it felt like the finale. It felt like they were saying goodbye to the characters. It felt like we were wrapping up their stories. And then when I turned on episode 16, it was a filler ep that they couldn't insert somewhere in the middle. It was so weird. And then the narrator explains that, oh, it's like when you know something is over, but you still miss it, so you want to start it all over again. Well, here's an episode when they still weren't super close friends, or, you know, they still didn't know this and that about each other. It just felt weird. And imagining this being aired weekly, because this was supposed to be on JTBC, But then I think there was a scandal with one of the cast members, and so they ended up just taking it off the air completely. Thankfully, it ended up on Prime Video, so we can still see it. But imagining this being aired weekly, and then I watched episode 15, and then the next day I watched episode 16, and that was how they ended the show. I think I would have hated it. I think I would hate it. But whatever, it's an OTT drama, technically, so okay, end it on a filler ep instead of the nice wrap-up to everything. Is it just me? Am I the only one who got that version? I don't know. I haven't seen anyone else mention how weird episode 16 was. Yeah. Anyway, I would highly recommend Salon de Nabi for a light watch. Like, if you're a fan of slice of life workplace dramas, yeah, we haven't had one of those in a while, actually. I think slice of life is not very popular nowadays, or they're kind of reserving it for OTT dramas, you know, that people can watch at their own pace because, yeah, it wouldn't do well in ratings at all. I get that. It's kind of a shame. I kind of miss this genre. I think there were so many of these. When I first started watching K-dramas, it's why I fell for K-dramas, because I wasn't seeing this genre anywhere else. But what can we do? It's not in the trends. Anyway, I rated this 8 out of 10. And that's a wrap on the dramas that I've currently tried for my First Impressions Challenge. So that's it for me today. I don't know when I'll do another one of these, but so far, next up on my list, I will definitely watch Save Me, which was recommended by Charlotte at Discord. Thank you very much. I'm watching that for another Halloween special, just so you know. And I'm really pushing myself out of my comfort zone with these horror K-dramas, okay? But I'm developing some immunity to it. I'm less scared than I was at the start of watching The Guest. Next up, I want to try The Devil Judge, which was recommended by Suri Sika, at Twitter. Thank you. I've always been interested in this, and I really like Jisung. Like, for some reason, I like Jisung even if I haven't watched them in anything. And I also like Jin-young. Like, guys, have you seen Jin-young dancing in the military? That man wants to go back to his real job. Let him out. He has served enough. Anyway, yeah, I've always been interested in that. So we'll see. I think I am in the mood for a darker drama. Like, after I watch The Guest and Save Me, I think I will need a darker drama in the mix always. And after watching The Guest, I want to watch Coffee Prince. Because, oh my god, baby Kim Do-wook and baby Kim Jae-wook, you know? I want to see them again. And yeah, it's been on my list since forever. It was also recommended by Vanessa Ferre on Twitter. Thank you. I will get to that. Thank you so much. So yes, that's it for part one of my First Impressions Challenge. I'll see you guys in a month or probably more. I'll probably give myself more time to watch more dramas. And yeah, that's it for me today. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you soon.